That's okay, that's fine. Thanks, Ethan. Cello. Well, that's a lot to happen in a morning already, isn't it? So we have a lot going on, and we still have our message with you from God, and we still have our AGM meeting, and I get to see how God wants to lead us in our AGM meeting and lead his church in the way that he wants to. We just got back from holiday, by the way, so I'm not quite up to gear. I'm ready to go here yet, but boy, it was nice. It was so good. You know, we're so blessed, right? We have family, well, if you like family, anyhow, Cliff and Libby Horwood, who have allowed us to use their place in Palm Springs. So we flew up to Palm Springs. And not only that, but they allowed us to go to a conference at their church, so we did that. And we were just inspired by God through many speakers who shared God's word. And I call it almost like gospel candy. I went there and I was just going to just take from them, right? Just keep soaking it in. I actually felt a little guilty. And at the end, they were talking about this cruise. They were talking about a cruise to go and see all of the things that Paul did on his journey, which is kind of what my wife Patty was just talking about. By the way, we together last night in our bed were looking at this website where we're learning how to pronounce all the words. Yeah, so that's why we did so well. And I'll see if I can follow from there to do the same. Yeah, Derby. Okay, thank you. Lystra, by the way, remember Lystra? That was a challenging spot. But Lystra. And so we're just listening to the words. And it's kind of funny even just listening to the words. Because sometimes we don't even take the time to do that, right? We don't take the time to do that. But God calls us to look into his word and to see what it has for us, what kind of life it has for us. I know maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. That's something new. Maybe someone dragged you here and you're just part of a sermon now or a big service that, wow, does this go on much longer? Well, a little bit. I'll try to take it not too much longer. But it is an awesome thing because the guy I'm talking about, his name is Paul, and he has this incredible journey where he's going on and talking to many people and trying to introduce them to faith in Christ. And so I'll do similar. I'll try to do the same this morning. I'll try to kind of relive a little bit what Paul was like and how he was able to share his faith. And I'm hoping you'll be able to grab something from that because, you know, as I came back from my conference, I was kind of thinking, you know, it is kind of fun to go listen to guys who speak really well. They illustrate the scriptures so well. They just bring you into it almost. You're crying, you're laughing, you're doing it all. And then you're challenged by God. But you know what? There's a place where we actually have to put a little skin into the game too, right? And so that's what I want us to see from Paul. That he put a little skin into the game. And he actually moved with God and followed him. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark. That's our next book that we're going to look at. Not today, but starting next week. And you're going to love it. So please come out to hear about that. The shortest gospel. That's why we chose it. No. And Mark, he just kind of jumps right into it, right? He doesn't get, like some of the gospels, they talk about a lot of things. But Mark just boom, 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 right to Jesus. And he's so excited. And right at the middle of it, it kind of climaxes with this, deny yourself, right? Take up your cross. And follow me. And I put it into the 3 D's. So I call it deny, and be a disciple. Deny, die, and be a disciple. So it's a lot, right? Because when we think about deny, we just think, oh, what can I deny myself to have this Lent? No. That's not what Jesus is saying. He wants you to deny yourself, right? Deny yourself, who you are. And then when we think about the cross, we say, oh, what cross can I bear? What do I bear? It's almost like we're showing how good we are in our relationship with Jesus. But no, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I want you to take up your cross because that represents your death. And so you're dying. You're denying to yourself and you're dying. And then you become his disciple. And you walk and follow him. Let's pray as we start. Father, thank you so much for your word. It is powerful. But it's only powerful as we let your Holy Spirit work in our lives. So I trust that your Holy Spirit would be willing to work through me. You would speak to us and challenge us, show us your word, open it up, bring it to life, Father, so that we don't just see it as something that we're, as I did, a little gospel candy, a little place to go to watch it, maybe a cruise to see what he did, but God, actually something that would transform our lives and bring us into something new. And if someone does not know Jesus here this morning, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them. Help them find you and know who you are. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to go into Acts 14, but before I do that, I think it might be good to kind of talk just a little bit about this guy, Paul. And I'm going to do it without probably going to too much scripture, because if I do that, I feel we might be here all morning. So I'll just give you the scripture as I remember it. That's dangerous. Come on, you guys. Listen up here. Just laugh a little. That's ridiculous. I don't remember anything. Anyhow, so the way it works is, I know that Paul was a crazy guy. He was one that was almost pathological in his drive to knock out what they call the way, right? So there's a group of people that were trying to live like Jesus, and they loved him, and they believed he rose from the dead, and they were telling the story that everybody thought was a lie. That's a lie. How can you tell that? He did not rise from the dead. And so it just caused a lot of grief, not just for the Jewish people, but also for the Romans, right? Because everybody's trying to keep the peace and keep their kingdoms going, trying to build things so they all look good and everything's flowing nicely. The Jews wanted it. The Romans wanted it. Everybody wanted it. But somehow, like, I don't know if you remember this culture, but Rome has literally built Rome roads all over the place, right? They've got this big kingdom set up. And the Greeks are pretty happy with it in some ways too, although they're just kind of putting up with it because these Romans are barbarians, right? And the Greeks are the intellects. And they know just how to make everything work. And so they're kind of putting up with these Romans as they build this kingdom. And then they're going to culturalize them and allow it to become something that they will respect as well. But in the midst of all this, trying to control, an unknown guy named Jesus comes. They take him. And they don't agree with what he's doing. They think he's blasphemous. He's not God. And the Jews get all upset. And so they crucify him. And he's dead. It's done. Now, the way the story goes, I don't even think Paul was there at the time when Jesus was crucified. But he knew all about it. He knew what had happened. He heard the stories. And he had to live with it. So he was the guy that was going to have to stump it up because he had been trained and he knew how to do this. He knew what he was doing. And so we'll pick up the story as he's heading to Damascus. Actually, let's pick it up even before then. Do you remember Stephen in the Bible? Okay, Stephen was a guy who was passionate for Jesus, right? He believed that Jesus rose from the dead. And that he was alive, and that he was the Messiah, he was the Savior. I don't know if you believe that this morning, some of you might not, but that's what he believed. To the extent that he was willing to go and to preach boldly to anybody, even those who he knew he would be in trouble with, and he would use their culture, he would use their religious background to help them understand that Jesus was the Messiah. And they did not like that. They got angry, very angry. And so we know that what ultimately it came to was they were so upset with him, they literally almost killed him within Jerusalem, which they can't do. They just rushed upon him. And then they dragged him out of the city. And from there, guess what happened? Well, Paul is there. And Paul actually is leading the gang. But he's not like the witness. These other guys are. So as they come out, you'll see Paul standing, and the scriptures even say this, he'll be standing at the side. The guys are taking off their cloaks and putting them nicely at his feet for him to take care of, because they need freedom to stone this guy. And it says they stoned him and they killed him. Stephen said, and forgive them. They don't, like, forgive them, Jesus. Forgive them. His last words, forgive them. I remember before that he said, and I see Jesus. They're like, what? Stephen, stop it. You know, stop it. Why, how could you do that at that point? And yet that's what he said, I see Jesus. And then he said, forgive him. And then he died. And it says that Saul, or Paul, said, that's cool. That's good. That's what we needed to do. That's good. And then we pick him up on the way to Damascus, where Jesus meets Saul. And he changes his name to Paul or whatever. He's got two different names. One's Greek, one's Roman. I don't know. It's just he's got a variety of names. They say not to take too much significance into that change. But at any rate, So Paul, and as he does that, God blinds him, as they say, on the road to Damascus. He cannot see. Jesus meets him. He has to go into town blinded with all his entourage of people, because here he is coming to kill these Christians, but now he's blinded. He's seen Jesus. He says, my Lord, you know, what can I do? And they go in, and long story short, he's given his sight back. He gets into trouble, because immediately he turns from chasing the Christians and wanting to kill them to joining them and wanting to lead them, right? And preach Jesus. So what happened? Okay, my question to you is, we're going to talk about On Mission because that's my title. So lately, what are you on mission for? So maybe you're a student and your mission is to complete that paper or to finish this course and get that assignment done, get that exam finished and do well. That's a good mission. Or maybe you have another mission. Maybe your mission is to lose some weight like I would like to and get in shape at least, and I'd like to do that too, but I have no willpower. So even though I have that mission, I'm on mission, I'm not really on mission. I just like to observe it and I see it. And I see people that do well with it and I get inspired by them, but then I see that Twinkie over there, or I see that chocolate bar, and I see that Coke over there. Oh, but I'm off the chips. I've been off them for a while, so I'm doing pretty well there. I said, my diet, what I was going to try to stay away from was cookies, Coke, and chips. And so far, pretty good with the chips. Don't ask about the rest. And I have many other vices, of course, right? But so I'm trying. We're on mission in many ways. But it's not really the mission Christ has given to us. We like to come and discover about the mission as we come to church, right? About it. And look at how neat it looks, how cool it looks, and hear about the passion that goes on and sort of look from the outside. And then we even get an inkling that maybe the Holy Spirit could work through us, but we lose a little bit of hope and we come back and we kind of slink back and just kind of do our own thing. I'm not saying everybody does that, but I must admit that I tend to do that. And so I struggle. I struggle with that. But what happened was with Paul was that Jesus met him and Jesus changed him. So might I suggest to you, you need to meet Jesus. Right? You need to meet Jesus. You need to meet Jesus and let him transform you and put you on mission. Because it appears to me, as we read through 14, that Paul, he was on mission no matter what. A little bit of context to the story just before this time that he had in Iconium. We see him in chapter 13. We see Barnabas and Paul actually were sent off together. Why was it Barnabas and Paul? Why were they together? Okay, well, Barnabas was preaching in Antioch, and people were coming to know Christ. Antioch was a beautiful, huge city, but it was very given into whatever they wanted. And people did what they wanted. They looked great. They appeased every sense they possibly could in that city. There was over 500,000 people, which was a huge city there. And so here's Barnabas preaching it, and he had God put on his heart, I need to go get Paul, because we tried to protect Paul and put him in Tarsus. I need to go get him now. So he went and he literally found Paul. He brought him back to Antioch, and they preached the word of God. And many people became Christians. They came in the way. And then they found out there was going to be a famine. Someone came, and so they went, they with the monies or whatever it was, the food that the people gave them in Antioch, they went to Jerusalem to take care of the people in Jerusalem. While they do that, and once they finish that, they come back to Antioch, and then guess what? The Holy Spirit wants to meet with them. He wants to show them their mission. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit wants to meet with us. He wants to show us his mission. And some of it's particular to you. Others of it is general to all of us. And we have to figure out what that is. And so it says, while they were praying and fasting and worshiping, the Holy Spirit showed them. While they were praying and fasting and worshiping. You can't be idle. We cannot be idle. We don't have time for that. We need to get into our prayer and fasting and worship. Now, I don't know what you think about fasting, but there's a variety of things that happen there. But particularly in this situation, they were fasting as a group. So they were just taking some time. They particularly want to know what to do, because what they saw was God was doing some really amazing things. And look at what's happening in Antioch of Syria. It's pretty awesome. God's moving. So what does he want us to do now? We don't know. We got to know. We got to move. Okay, so they did. They were called by the Holy Spirit. But apparently that was in the winter. So they had to literally wait till the spring. Because, you know, it's not really good to travel in the winter. I mean, we worry about it with our winter tires. Imagine what they worry about. Right? They struggled a lot because they knew they were going to have to go oversea onto the island of Crete, and then they were going to have to go on sea again and end up in Asia and go through all the country there. And so they had to plan it well, and they had to be strategic as they did it. Do you know that Paul was always strategic? Stephen was strategic. All the speakers, Peter was strategic. When they spoke, they knew their audience, and they spoke to them in a way that they could understand what they were saying so that it would apply to their life. We need to know our audience, and we need to prepare, be ready to go. If it's winter now, fine. But let's be ready for the spring when it comes, because God has a spring for us. And he has a boat for us to catch. And maybe we need to go to those merchants that are taking the goods over to that island where he's taking us. And we need to negotiate with them now how we're going to get over there. So make a plan. Discover what God wants for you. And get on mission with what Jesus has for you. And you'll discover life. Not the life that we are trying to get, like the people in Antioch who are just pleasing themselves. They're like us. They're very relaxed, very comfortable. This morning I drove up again to Mount Tomi. I just kind of sat there and looked at it and thought, man, that looks a lot like what it might have looked like when Paul was journeying with the rocks and the grass and the up and down and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of rugged as I looked at it coming out of my car, standing on the side. You know, I'm thinking, oh, will I get to church on time to get my water? And will I feel okay with my Bible in my hand? And how am I going to sit in the chair? And oh, so what? God, forgive me. Help me think about now what I'm going to be doing on mission. Help me strategize what that looks like. Move me. Help me get a little skin into the game. What is that going to look like when I put skin into the game? And so Paul did make the plan. He went to the merchants. He and Barnabas figured out how they were going to get over. And they took John Mark with them, it says in the Bible. And there were probably others. And they would go over on this ship that would take them, I don't know, I think they said within 24 hours they're going to be on the island. As they get to the island, they get to one side of the island, which I guess is the east side. And they travel apparently on the south side of that island. So it's going to be a little rugged, but they'll have the ocean there. And guess what else they have? Time. Ever wonder what it's like to have time? Yeah, they had time. Their traveling is quite a bit different than ours, right? They got their heavy sandals, all the stuff that they need to carry. I don't know how much money they were able to get from the churches to go and to be able to do this, but they needed money, maybe on their own. And yet Paul knew these areas. They're walking the highways, right? This is their highways. They're walking the highways. And they're going down the south side of this island. And as they come to Paphos, a unique place, right? Paphos. This is where something amazing happens. They're coming, I don't know, would the sun be setting? Maybe. And so the sun's setting in the west as they're coming to Paphos. And maybe there's the shadows of the buildings, perhaps of the temple, of the cultic temples of Aphrodite that are there. Again, a mess. This culture's a mess. It has not changed today, right? It's the same as it always has been. It's all about us and how we're going to take care of ourselves. And this cult of Aphrodite and how they had prostitutes at the temple and people, all the seafaring people and the guys with their ships would come in and they would have sex with these ladies. They'd pay them and all the money, of course, would go to the temple. It's a really wealthy temple. You can imagine there was a lot of attraction to be there. There was some bizarre cult there that said the virgins were supposed to go and have prostitute themselves once before they can go and be married in order to get some money and give somebody the temple money, some money for the dowry and then carry on. It was a mess. Okay? It was a mess. Jesus put them on a mission to walk across this island and to spend time with people who needed to hear about him. And as they come into the area, it says that there's this guy who's a sorcerer. And the sorcerer, if you go back to it, his name is Elymas. And he opposed Paul to his face. You know why? Because he's a sorcerer. He's a magician. And this proconsul, Sergius, who was there, he had favor with him. That was his income. He was his guy. That's the way he's going to make his money and live. And now Paul's coming, he's taking it away, and he's ready to push Paul out of the way. And he's aggressive with it. And yet, what does Paul do? Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. You will never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord. Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time." You should be familiar with that. That's exactly what happened to Paul, right? You're going to be blind for a time. And don't you think Paul understood Elymas? Elymas wasn't even close to what Paul was doing, right? Paul was evil incarnate. He was doing stuff that was completely against, and he was killing, and he wanted to put more to death. But Christ changed him. And here he has an opportunity with Elymas, and he puts him in his place. He just puts him in his place. And he's blinded. And he just wanders around. And what happens? The proconsul goes, "Wow! The very thing that Satan tried to use to pull people away from Christ, God used to pull people to Christ. And he will do that for us. Go forth in faith. Make the plan. Book the ship. Get going to the island and let God do his work. Let him use what appears to be a mess and use it for his glory to bring people into relationship with him, to set them free, to give them hope. And of course, this was significant. There's a proconsul who probably is from the area where Paul is going and probably then was able to help Paul and send him along the way. Another really, I can't go much longer. I'll just go forever on this stuff because it's so fun. This story is so fun. But as he finally gets on the ship again, they go over and they end up in, where do they end up? Perga? Perga. In Pamphylia. And as they get there, John leaves them. A little controversy. Who knows? We all can speculate. Anybody got any ideas? I don't know. Who knows? There was issues. John leaves. Maybe it just wasn't well. That was a bit of a journey, right? He just came off his second time on the ship and all these merchants and all this mess on the ship and, you know, who knows what was going on that ship too. And they finally get to Perga. And by the way, Perga is 7 miles inland. So once they get off this big ship, they either have to take another ship or they have to walk up, which they probably did, up the river, and then made it up to Perga. And finally then John leaves. And as they're in Perga, now they have this interesting journey. And they go through several locations. And as they go through all these locations, guess what they find? Well, they find Jewish people who have settled, who have scattered. And guess why they've scattered? Well, wasn't it shortly after Stephen was stoned that the people were persecuted and they scattered? It was Paul. Paul initiated that. It wasn't just him, but he was a big part of it. The things he did for evil, God used for good. And as he traveled, I'm assuming, they don't know for sure, but as he probably traveled in rocky terrain and along a river, maybe with a mule or something, but probably with a caravan or with a group of people. It's safer that way because they'd be worried about robbers and thieves and all sorts of things that are going to come their way. Who knows what else? So they would travel along. And believe me, he's not stopping and taking selfies and he's not sending stuff back with Instagram. He's not doing any of that kind of stuff. He's just trying to figure out where God has him to go. And as he goes, although he doesn't have that, he has Jewish settlements. And he goes along and he meets with them. And he's encouraged by them. They take care of him. Not only that, but he helps them because he tells them a little bit more about their faith. He's there to encourage them and actually give them some understanding about what this whole way is about. How they can walk in it. How they can find life in it. He is on mission. And it's not easy. He's put a lot of skin into it. This first missionary journey that we're now journeying through takes over 2 years. And he's on his own. He's got a group of people, but kind of on his own. But I just want to say, before we close up here this morning, let's take you to Lystra. Because Lystra was significant. When it came to Lystra, so if you can find it here. So Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. And on the Sabbath, they gathered at the synagogue and sat down. They always read the law at the synagogue, right? They read the law. And then they give opportunity for people to speak. And of course, Paul stands up. And he says, listen to me. And he shares the gospel. Eventually, they chase him out of there. But he gives a whole story in Antioch. And he says, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that Jesus is the forgiveness of sins proclaimed to you. You have freedom in Christ. You have freedom in Christ. Now, he wasn't just fighting against Jewish customs to say you would have to sacrifice or say that you'd have to be circumcised or say you'd have to whatever in order to come into relationship with Jesus. No, he was also fighting against all of the deities that people were worshiping that required them to beat themselves or to do whatever it was, bring sacrifices, do all sorts of stuff. He was trying to set them free, to find life, find something new. So as he went to Antioch, he did that. Of course, he had to leave Antioch. The people chased him out. But here's what he said. Sorry, I know I jumped to Antioch before I went to Lystra, but let me just say something here. Then Barnabas answered the Jews who boldly opposed them. And here's what he said. We had to speak the word of God to you first. That was their agenda. They had a plan. There's a strategy. They had to speak to the Jews first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, now we will turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. And away they went. And then it says here the Gentiles were excited about it, but the Jews got really ticked off. and they heard what was going to happen, that these people meant bad towards them, and so they left. They went out to Iconium, and then they went to Lystra. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame, and a miracle took place, right? Jesus wanted to draw some attention to him. And so through Paul, he let Paul recognize that this man had faith enough to be healed. And so Paul said to him, "Stand up to your feet." And at that moment, the man jumped up and began to walk. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in Lyconian language, I think that's how we say it, right, Patty? Lyconian language, Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes. So they got confused. Don't blame them for it. As we go on mission, as we book the ship, as we get onto the island and maybe go on to another area, as we're on mission, people are going to get confused with the gospel. They'll because they have all their own beliefs of things, all sorts of stuff, and they're just going to try to add Jesus to it. But no, Jesus is not going to be added to anything. He is the way. And so they basically got all upset because there was a time, I think, when these gods that they were thinking that Paul and Barnabas were, they came many years ago. There's this myth. How they came and the people did not recognize them. They didn't do what they asked, and as a result, there was a curse on the people. And now Paul and Barnabas are here, and it looked really pretty much the same. And they thought, "Wow, this is the guy." And some people from the temple are literally coming down and saying, "Now let's just pour blessing on these guys because they're the gods. Now we can be blessed again." See how confused they were? You can see how the gospel can get messed up. We need to be careful how we share the gospel. We need to take it to them. So it says Paul and Barnabas ripped their clothes and they said, "What are you doing? You can't do that. We are not these people. This that you are saying is the very thing we came to stomp out. You don't have to do that stuff. There's freedom in Jesus. Find the way in Jesus." And the people were confused. Right? The people were confused. They didn't know what to do. There was a lot of stuff flying. Then some of the Jews from Antioch and Iconium won the crowd over. They were following him, right? Paul had already passed through these places. So they come back and they're following Paul all the way to this place. And they said, they won the crowd over. They stoned Paul. They dragged him outside the city thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Oh my goodness. That's pretty crazy stuff. And I don't know if you caught that, but they shared the gospel. It was a little mixed up. They were heartbroken. So, no, this is the way it is, not that way. And then these guys who were meaning nothing but bad followed them, and they thought they were going to mess it up. As a matter of fact, they thought they were going to kill Paul. And so what's Paul thinking? What would Paul be thinking as he's being stoned? Could he possibly be thinking about Stephen? Could he be thinking about what they did to Stephen? I don't know. Could he be thinking about what that all means? And now here he is also being stoned for the sake of Christ, which is what he says in his letters that he is so happy to do. Why? Because Jesus changed him. He met Jesus. And here he is in Lystra, lying as if dead. The disciples gather around him. We're almost done here. They gather around him and they lift him up. He gets up and he goes back into Lystra. Okay, you get that? No, sure. People probably went back into their towns and kind of went to their own places. Like, whoa, that was quite a day. You know, maybe they were just ready to let whatever those guys do what they're doing. And then it says he left. And they had a long journey. I got to assume at this point, please use your imaginations. You can't walk, right? So someone must have given him a mule or something to go on, lent him or gave him to him. They would just kind of throw him on that, right? And they would go to the next town. And guess what they did? They revisited every town that they came through on the way there. You see, they're on mission. When you're on mission with the Holy Spirit giving you direction, you just go. And there's no fear. I mean, yeah, we have anxiety, we have stress, but God walks with them. And they went back and they encouraged all the places that they had been to. They put leaders in place. And guess what else they did? The same thing they did together was they prayed, they worshiped, and they fasted. Because they want these people to discover their mission. You guys are on mission too. So let's get on mission together. And they did. And I'm sure they provided for these guys all the way back till they got to the ship again, and they went back, and guess where they went back to? They went back to Antioch of Syria again. And as they're coming in, they're coming into the, it's like the golden city, right? It's beautiful again. And they immediately went and they told them what happened. That's just the beginning, guys. What an incredible story. We're coming to our AGM. And it's going to be easy for us to be distracted here and there and all over the place. I want to challenge each of us to stay on mission. What Jesus has called us to do. We maybe need to do some more praying and worshiping and fasting. Maybe we need to do that and to discover how that works. Thanks so much, Natalie, for your prayer and just reminding us of some of the things we're doing together as a church. Let's do that together as a church. And what does it look like to get my skin involved in that? Well, how do I do that? Well, let's figure it out. Let's figure it out. And let's ask God how it's going to work, how it's going to look. Don't wait for the next person. And some of you are doing that very thing. So encourage people beside you also. Tell them what's happening. Tell them how God's moving. Tell them what he's doing in your life and how he's making things new. Because I think Paul, all along, was thinking, wow, I met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he changed my life, and I can do nothing but share him with others. I am passionate to do that. And if I could possibly do as Stephen did, I would be glad to do that. And he went on to do more and more and more. That's the God we serve that transforms a life like that, that moves to set people free. What does it look like then in our culture today? What does it look like to be traveling on the island, on the south side of that island, heading to this pit, this disgusting mess where people are just throwing themselves all over the place and appeasing themselves and thinking they're doing well, but really they're not, and they're hurting themselves. Imagine the girls that had to prostitute themselves and the virgin that had to prostitute, but because some stupid cult that was just a lie. God wanted to bring freedom to that. So what's happening here? What's happening in our city? It's quite different, right? We're quite tame. We're quite peaceful. We're quite, we're not necessarily open to religion and Christ and Jesus, but there is a strategy we can have. And it has to be pointed at our culture here today. So let's figure out what it is. I'm not going to tell you. By the way, this is an interesting thing. I heard this said not long ago in a message. So I'm not going to tell you what to do. Because if I tell you what to do, you'll just be an imitator. I don't want an imitator. I actually want someone who wants to discover what God wants them to do, and they go out and do it. Can we do that? Can we discover what God wants us to do? There'll be some things we're going to do together as a team, and we'll go out and do those things. But sometimes God's just going to move you and maybe a couple other people, and you're going to go and do that. God's going to work through it because the Holy Spirit showed you as you prayed, worshiped, and fasted. So God, we want to thank you for that. That you're a God who wants to move in our hearts and to change us and open us up and show us and give us a passion for what can actually give us life. Forgive us for just looking for candy all the time. And I pray that you open up our eyes to what we can do that makes a difference, not only in our life, but the people around us. God, we're prepared to no longer sit in the seats and just look. We actually, God, want to know what you want us to do. So we need to meet you. God, please meet us here this morning. Meet us here. Let us see that Jesus that Paul saw, that Stephen saw. Because Paul didn't actually see you physically doing a lot of things. But he saw you. He saw you. You changed his life. God, changed my life. Change my life. And let me be on mission for you. Let me discover what it is to buy my ticket. And trust you as I go. In Jesus' name.